Thank you, Thomas.
Can I take the notes?
Yes.
No, I need the cable. Well, that's okay. Come on.
Thank you, Thomas. Honourable guests, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. What a pleasure to be with you today and be able to speak in person after 2 years of only seeing each other on virtual platforms. The theme of Ham Radio 2022 is a reunion with friends, and how appropriate it is that many of us have been able to travel to this wonderful part of Germany to actually see each other in person and to be able to once again attend the excellent facilities at the Messe for this year's Ham Radio. You know, I'm always asked, what is the best part of amateur radio? I think that is an easy answer. It is the people. The people we talk to on the air, the people we rely on for mentoring, on technical matters, and the ability to socialize with some of the most interesting people you will meet. Indeed, I have made lifelong friends as a result of becoming an amateur radio operator in 1977. All of you bring passion and dedication to this wonderful hobby, and for that, I thank you. There are so many people in this room I count as colleagues and friends, and many others who will be attending the fair this weekend who I am pleased to be able to see again in person. This weekend, I think, should be an occasion to celebrate our return to being able to meet once again in this wonderful venue. I am thrilled to be a guest at Ham Radio and in Germany. It is indeed good to be back. Let us work together to make sure we can continue to meet and socialize in person. We have not escaped the pandemic just yet, but we are clearly moving in the right direction. What did we, as radio amateurs, learn from the pandemic? In my view, we learned quickly how to adapt. Much of the work IARU and its member societies do was transitioned to virtual platforms. We continued to represent the amateur services. Interest in amateur radio grew as individuals looked for new ways to interact with each other. We supported each other, as we always have. Sadly, we should remember we also lost a number of amateurs to the pandemic, including some in our IARU family. I also think we learned to appreciate what a privilege it is to have access to such a large amount of spectrum that we can use to connect to each other. Perhaps more than ever during the times we were restricted to our homes, we truly appreciated what a broad range of activities we can enjoy on the air, thanks in part to the numerous frequencies we have access to. Certainly, the pandemic changed us and the way we interact with each other, but as amateurs, we adapted and have changed to continue to use the spectrum as we always have. Now, those of you who have had the misfortune to hear me in the past know that I'm constantly saying that amateur radio has changed. I have said that IARU and its member societies must be ready to adapt and respond to that change. Well, we did very well for the last 2 years. There are some things, though, that should not change. We are first and foremost a fraternity of like-minded individuals. The Radio Amateurs Code was written in 1928 by Paul Siegel, W9EEA. It states in part, the radio amateur is loyal. He, she offers loyalty, encouragement, and support to other amateurs, local clubs, the IARU Radio Society in his or her country, through which amateur radio in his or her country is represented nationally and internationally. The words that really strike me from that paragraph is support to other amateurs. That to me is key. We have always have and must continue to support each other. If you look around this room, you will see we come from a number of different backgrounds, beliefs, and orientations. We may not always see things in the same way, but as radio amateurs, we put that aside because we give support to each other. Where else in the world do you see such a diverse group of people being able to interact with each other regardless of our individual backgrounds? I would wager there are not many other interests that can bring us together in the same way that amateur radio can. We support each other. And to do that, we should, by necessity, be apolitical. All of us will hold views on the actions of our respective governments and administrations, some stronger than others. However, the actions of a government are not the actions of individual radio amateurs. In times of strife or conflict, we should continue to support each other. If we forget to do that, then I fear for amateur radio. We have survived for over 100 years through many occasions of world disruption by continuing to communicate with each other. I feel strongly that we must not lose sight of the benefits of amateur radio and how continuing to be able to communicate with each other can only help to resolve issues between different cultures and groups. We may all hold strong feelings on recent world events. That is understandable. Those feelings should not affect our community and how we interact with each other. Since 1925, IARU has never sanctioned or suspended a member society for the actions of their government. We should not do that in 2022 or any point in the future. We should, though, not be afraid to change as amateur radio changes. Now, what do I mean by that? We are facing a generational and technical change in the amateur population. And such generational changes are not always reflected in our member societies or indeed the IARU. They may not be reflected by people in this room. I invite you to consider a couple of points that I believe reflect how we, as amateurs, have been slow to change our views. The amateur services are supposed to be at the forefront of technical change to enhance the art and science of communication. But when we are faced with new operating techniques that make effective use of the spectrum, we are slow to embrace them. One example of the technical changes in the amateur services is the popularity of FD8. However, we are often slow in adopting this new technology into what amateur radio means to us. Instead, we seem to enter into endless debates as to whether FD8 is real amateur radio and seem to forget that we have already moved beyond that debate, as FD8 is already one of the most popular modes used by new and existing amateurs. You know, I had a discussion with a new amateur recently in my home club in Calgary. He lives in an apartment and has limited room for antennas. In fact, he uses an indoor antenna for HF. And because of that, he also uses FD8 almost exclusively. You should have seen the excitement that he conveyed to me because he was able to work Botswana on FD8. He explained to me that this is why he got into amateur radio, to be able to communicate with countries halfway around the world. And he did not care. It was not a SSB or a CW contact. He was enthused because he communicated with Botswana, and that he was excited that amateur radio, in whatever form, allowed him to do that. We need to recognize that enthusiasm and encourage it. New hams who are enthusiastic about amateur radio are the future. We, in turn, should be encouraging new technologies and new ideas rather than taking the position they are not real amateur radio. Well, what many of us perceive as real amateur radio has changed. We collectively need to recognize that and be willing to embrace such changes. We have access to a tremendous amount of radio spectrum. We make very little use of it. One statistic which always amazes me is that if you consider the primary and secondary allocations, we have access to some 9% of the spectrum between 144 megahertz and 275 gigahertz. 9%. In today's world, that is a massive amount of spectrum for a relatively small number of users. Now, I know many of you are active in the bands above 144 megahertz. Many are not. We need to inspire new amateurs to use that spectrum, whether it be by digital modes or otherwise. We should be encouraging innovation rather than holding on to what many of us see were the glory days of ham radio. Those days are gone. We need to move forward. Now, why do I say that? It is no secret the bands we use are under constant threat. Our allocations in that portion of the spectrum are attractive targets to other users, and we will need to work very hard to maintain our existing frequencies. Of more immediate concern, we can no longer ignore the changing view by many regulators that spectrum must be shared where it is feasible, nor that the spectrum allocated to the amateur services, both HF and VHF Plus is untouchable. For those of us who attend RTO and ITU meetings, we know that many of the delegates from country administrations are not the engineers of old. Indeed, many of those delegates were radio amateurs. That is not the case anymore. Delegates are being replaced by economists and, dare I say it, lawyers. They do not see the spectrum allocated to amateurs as having historical significance or that it cannot be used for other services. That is a change we have had to deal with over the last several years. Our primary goal at any World Radio Conference is to retain our existing spectrum. For the most part, we have done that, and in some cases added spectrum. I can tell you, though, there is little appetite at ITU to give any spectrum user, including the amateur services, new primary allocations. Spectrum is more and more being looked at as a global resource that should be shared where feasible. The IRU are excellent advocates at RTO and ITU meetings. And I know many of the volunteers we have are in this room today and at the ham radio event. You should all be justifiably be proud of the work that our volunteers do in this space. They too have had to adapt to changes and have done an excellent job. We know that our secondary allocation at 23 centimeters is facing incredible pressure from the radio navigation satellite services, who are primary users in that part of the spectrum. The demand for interference-free RNSS services is largely driven by changes in our society. Autonomous vehicles and other machines will make extensive use of RNSS services. The public demand for autonomous vehicles is high and will only continue to grow. Now, the IRU will work to minimize the constraints on amateur radio activities and continue to seek amendments to the draft recommendations through the ITU process. But as a secondary user, radio amateurs should understand the need to protect the radio navigation satellite service in many consumer and industry applications. That will lead, possibly, to some restrictions on our use of the 23-centimeter band. As secondary users, we will have to change and adapt to how we use this allocation. That is simply a fact we will not be able to alter in any substantive way. However, we are radio amateurs. We adapt and change as necessary to meet challenges such as this. I am sure we will do that in this case. If you have not already, I would encourage you to review the papers on this topic, which are available on the IRU website. Now, in terms of other changes we face, I cannot resist mentioning our use of paper QSL cards. We continue to use paper QSL cards and rely heavily on the bureau system. Now, given the changes in postal rates and the cost of bureaus to member societies, query if we will still be able to utilize paper QSL cards in 5 years' time, or even in 10 years' time. What about the environmental concerns that we are all faced with? Can we justify confirming radio contacts with paper cards and the cost of greenhouse emissions to send them around the world? Now, don't get me wrong. I love receiving paper QSL cards, but I'm also aware that we may not be able to continue this activity at some point in the future. All I am saying is should we not be actively embracing changes to how we confirm QSLs and dealing with them now. And there are several online platforms that allow us to do that. And sure, they're not as romantic as paper cards, but you are still credited with the contact. And I'm not saying we need to give up paper QSLs now. If you look at the QSL wall downstairs, it is obvious that we all love the individuality of paper cards, and my cards are among them. Let's carry on with paper QSL cards. All I am saying is consider the future. Let me summarize by asking us all to consider what we have to change to make the amateur services robust and useful in the future. The chance for us to debate these topics in meetings like Ham Radio is ideal. Amateur radio is changing and will continue to change. Let us not be slow in recognizing and adapting to those changes. In my view, whatever challenges we face for the amateur services, we will continue to adapt. I envision a very healthy future for amateur radio. We continue to be recognized as a vital communications interface. We remain resilient and necessary in today's world. We should make sure that continues into the future. Let me close my remarks by applauding DARC for persevering through two very difficult years to ensure we can all meet as friends here in Friedrichshafen. It is a considerable achievement. That is something we should all be grateful for. And indeed, as I said at the outset, I'm very pleased to be able to address you today in person instead of over a Zoom link. Thank you for allowing me to make these comments to you and hearing me out on some issues that I think we all need to reflect on. I know we will have an excellent time this weekend, and I look forward to participating in the many events planned over the next few days. This is truly a reunion with friends. Let us enjoy it. I wish this year's Ham Radio every success. Thank you.